Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Reclaiming Womanhood. This is your host, Allison Powers, and I am so glad you are here because we are on episode number 13 and today is August 19th and I just can't believe it. It's crazy. It is that time of year, back to school time, and I thought this would be an appropriate time to have another one of the homeschooling podcasts since there are so many people who are considering homeschool for their students just because of what's going on in our culture. So that is what we're going to do today. I'm going to talk about 10 simple tips for newbie homeschoolers. So I think that you will be super encouraged today, no matter where you stand on the homeschooling front, if you're coming back into it after having homeschooled for years and years, or if you're just starting right away. So stay tuned, be encouraged. But before we dive into today's topic, I wanted to remind you guys of a free resource that I have for you, and it is the Intentionally You Prayer Journal. And that prayer journal can be found at allisonpowers.com/prayer journal. And I encourage you to go download that if you haven't already, because it comes with a really cute printable prayer journal and a free e-course to help you use and get the most out of it. Because I just want to remind you, the most important thing that we can be doing right now in this time is praying. We have got to lift up our nation in prayer, lift up our families in prayer, lift up our children in prayer. If you're going to start homeschooling, lift up your homeschool in prayer. God listens. I was reading with my kids today. I think it was in Psalm 18, and I'm going to pull it up for you guys right now. And what we read was awesome. So I want to share that with you today. It was Psalm 18, verse 6. When I was in trouble, I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry for help reached his ears. And I just want to remind you that when you cry out to the Lord, when you're feeling like you're in trouble right now, if you feel worried, anxious, any of those things, when you cry out to the Lord, he can hear you. So don't feel like you're crying out into empty air. When you cry out to the Lord, he can hear you from heaven. He is listening. Just be reminded of that. Again, that was Psalm 18:6. If you want to go write that down, memorize it, put it on an index card, remind yourself. The whole chapter 18 of Psalm is super encouraging, especially for what we're walking through right now in our culture. So I encourage you to go give that a read. All right. So into today's topic, 10 simple tips for new homeschoolers or prospective homeschoolers, those diving into this. All right. Tip number one is don't rush into it. So this one is specifically for those with younger kids. So say your kids were starting kindergarten this year, and but you're just looking at everything that's going on in the schools and you're like, I don't think I can send my kindergartner to school and expect this kind of activity of the child. And so if that's you, I just want to encourage you, don't rush into it. I know the school tells you that you need to start in preschool and they need to, you know their ABCs. They need to have perfect handwriting by the first grade, this, that, and the other. I'm telling you, don't rush into it. Let them be little. They learn so much from playing. They learn so much from just being around you and doing life with you. And one of the greatest tips that someone gave me, because I totally was the opposite. When my kids were like 3 and 4, I'm like, okay, time for school. And I like sat them down for preschool and I was had all the things, the workbooks, this, that, and the other. And then like, what do you think happened? They're like, you know, we're 3 and 4. They didn't tell me this, but by their actions, they did. And they're like, we just want to play. And like, and that's good. That's so good. And initially I was like, no, you guys, we need to write in these workbooks because workbooks are school. And I wanted to rush them into things. And they showed me that, wait, no, playing is learning for that age. So my point is 4-year-old, 5-year-old, even 6-year-old, take it slow, take it easy. They're little, let them be little, let them play. Someone gave me a recommendation for a homeschool curriculum that is wonderful for that age, and that is called Before 5 in a Row, and I highly recommend looking into it if you have ones that are little like that. And basically, that curriculum takes books, and you read a book to your child. Each week is a different book, and you read some really great classic books. I'm talking like not chapter books, like picture books, and like Jessie Bear, What Will You Wear? That was one of our favorites. I'm trying to think of some other ones that were in that curriculum. We still have them today. I'm saving them for my grandkids because they're such good books. Anyways, you read through the books and then each day of the week, they suggest in that curriculum, like, okay, now do this activity, read the book again and do this activity and read the book again. And so, you know, for example, with Jesse Bear, What Will You Wear? There's a lot of different patterns in that book. So one day it was, you know, you ask your little 3, 4, 5 year old, what patterns do you see in here? And then let's try to draw these patterns and stuff like that. It's really engaging to them. And quite frankly, those hours that we spent snuggled up on the couch behind a book, I wouldn't trade them for anything. I wouldn't trade them for a kid who could write perfect penmanship or knows all their math facts by the first grade. Heck to the no, no way. The relationship that you get from reading with your kids, it's awesome. So anyways, tip number one, if they're little, let them be little. Focus on reading to them. That is the best thing that you can do. Play games with them. Cook with them. They will learn so much. It does not have to be formal. Okay, tip number two. There is a lot of curriculum out there, and that part can be overwhelming, especially if you got like third graders, fifth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, and you're like bringing everybody home and you're like, oh my goodness, where do I even start? There's a lot of curriculum out there, so I encourage you to talk to different homeschool moms. There's a lot around there. Maybe get in a homeschool group on Facebook, and talk to different moms, and especially moms that you see that are kind of like-minded like yourself, and see what they're using. Look into it. Don't feel like that is what you have to use though, like just because it's working for that mom. So look into your different options, talk to people, and then try it out. But when you do it, like, don't compare yourself to that mom and be like, well, it's working so good for her, or they're doing this, so I must be doing this wrong. And because when you first get started, you're just getting your feet wet, and it's going to take time to find your rhythm, find your teaching style, find your child's learning style. It's going to take time, and that's okay, because it'll be worth it. But so just get in the rhythm of things and don't compare yourself to other moms. And that leads me to my next tip, which is this: if you're using a curriculum, so tip number three, if you're using a curriculum and you're finding out this is not working for us, this just is not working for us, take that curriculum or whatever, maybe it's just your math or something, maybe it's not the whole curriculum, maybe it's just the science you chose, take that curriculum and put that right up on the shelf and say, you know, I'm going to save that for later. You could even sell it on eBay, but I recommend for like the first year, shelf it, because you might go back to that later after you guys get your feet wet and figure things out a little bit. But just shelf it, put it aside. I have done that. That was great advice that someone gave me early on, which was shelf it. I think my friend told me that. And we have years later pulled down some of that stuff. Turns out what I was doing is I was starting stuff a little too young for them and it wasn't working. And I'm thankful that I didn't just get rid of those things, because we pulled it down, you know, 2-3 years later, and it's a great fit for us. So sometimes that's the case, or sometimes, quite frankly, it just isn't a good fit for your child's learning style and your teaching style. It's got to mesh with you guys. And be patient and be willing to try different things. eBay is a great place to buy curriculum. If you know what you want, I wouldn't say it's a great place to browse, but if you know exactly what you're looking for, go on eBay. You can find it for a deal, and you can sell it on eBay as well if it doesn't work for you. Homeschool curriculum right now is going very quickly. Everyone is buying homeschool curriculum, so you can always sell it on there if it doesn't work either. Okay, tip number four. I think this is a big one, especially because most people starting who are considering homeschooling for the first time are doing so coming out of the public school. So my fourth tip for you is don't try to model the public school or the private school for that matter, any school. Homeschool is different than school away, and it's also different than school at home. So a lot of us, actually all of us, had to homeschool this spring, but most of us were doing school at home. And that's not quite the same thing, because it's when you were doing school at home in the spring, you were following the teacher's guide for you. You were answering to the teacher, you were listening to the teacher, you were doing what the teacher says on the teacher's schedule. Now, remember, you are doing homeschool now, and that's completely different. You choose the curriculum, you choose the pace, you choose when things get done, you choose your schedule. We personally, we do about 4 days a week. The fifth day is usually a day for running errands. And if there's now just a few little things that they have to finish up, they can do on the fifth day. But mostly we get everything done in 4 days. It's going to look different for everyone. But my point is, don't try to model the public school. You will get frustrated. Your kids will get frustrated, because this is completely different. You are at home and this is homeschool. And you will be surprised that it most likely will not take you the same amount of time that it takes you, that your child was away at school. So you might finish your school, especially for the younger ages. You'll finish like kindergarten through second grade. If you do kindergarten, I like I said, let them be little. But like first, second grade, third grade, you will be done in an hour and a half. Probably an hour and a half to 2 hours tops. If it's taking longer than that, maybe consider reconsidering what you're doing because it shouldn't take a whole lot longer than that. As they get into fifth grade, sixth grade, those ages, that's where we are right now. Stop before, make sure they're done. My goal is always to be done before lunch. So it usually takes us about 2.5-3 hours to get our schoolwork done, and that's everything. And we're done for it before lunch, and then after lunch, everybody has time to be free, and that's a good thing. So it takes a second for someone who's so used to the public school system to get over the fact that, wait, shouldn't I be doing more because we're so free in the afternoon? But I want to encourage you that freedom in the afternoon is actually a great thing for your child because that gives your child, him or her, the opportunity to really invest in the things that they are gifted in. For example, if you have a son who's really into woodworking, he can spend his afternoons just doing what he loves, unguided. Just let him go and do what he loves. Or a daughter who loves to sew, let her just unguided, just go. I mean, when I say unguided, I mean, obviously you have to know what your child's doing, but you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a formal thing. Let them just go be who they are. Let them go play outside and explore the outdoors. It's just, there's so much freedom and your child will learn a lot more about themselves. You're going to learn a lot more about your children. And it's a really, really great and beautiful thing. So again, don't worry about modeling the public school. As a matter of fact, make it your goal not to, because it's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And that's an okay. And that's a good thing. Okay. Tip number 5, seek one or two role models or podcasts that you like to listen to that are about homeschooling and that resonate with you and stick with those. There's so many podcasts out there, as you probably know, when you're searching for them. And if you fill yourself with too many voices and too much information, that's, I think, can be a negative thing because it can be conflicting and confusing. So I encourage you that find a couple podcasts that maybe resonate with you in the homeschooling world and listen to them maybe once a week for encouragement. You're going to need encouragement as you go through this. It's hard right now to get plugged into groups. I'm not saying it's impossible. There are groups online, but the face-to-face groups I'm sure are going to be a little bit challenging this year. But if you can find those, I encourage you to get plugged into those. But definitely find a podcast that you like that you can get encouragement from. I'm going to recommend 2 to you that I really like, but they might not resonate with you. So if you don't like them, then send them away. Don't listen to them if they don't resonate with you. My favorite homeschooling podcast is The Smiling Homeschooler by Todd Wilson. I think I've mentioned him on here before. He is a homeschool dad and he just has such a good perspective. And his goal is to make the homeschool mom smile. And he really talks about all the things that homeschool moms go through where you think you're alone and you're the only one going through it. Not the case at all whatsoever. The enemy tries to lie to us and tell us that that's the case, but it's not. And he really kind of brings that to light. And you do, you feel, I always listen to him when I'm tired of listening to the current events of the world. And I want to just something lighter and that will pick me up. And his podcast always does that. Another one I've talked to you about, which is not as light, but it's a good podcast, is the Heidi St. John podcast. It's not solely homeschooling, but she does have a lot of great homeschool advice on that. And actually, I'm going to give you one more. Wendy Speak is another one. I think her podcast is called the Homeschool Solutions Show or something along those lines. Wendy Speak, it's S-P-E-A-K-E. Silent E at the end. And she interviews a lot of people and just has a lot of different advice as well. So, but again, that is just 3 of hundreds. So find what works for you and listen to them regularly just for some encouragement. Okay. Tip number 6, read and listen to books. If you're not much of a reader, I encourage you to start reading, even if it's just you're going to read like a book a semester to encourage you in your homeschool journey. I think that's a wise choice because it is just so, like the podcast, it's great to see other people's perspective, where other people have walked, what other people have tried and what hasn't worked. And, there are so many wonderful books out there. I'm trying to think of a couple off the top of my head. There's the Homeschool Mom's Guide to Daylight. That's a good one. That's by Heidi St. John. One by Todd Wilson was Lies Homeschool Moms Believe. Very good one. Very funny. I'm trying to think of a few more. I'll try to think of a few more and I'll put them in the show notes. So check the show notes and I'll have maybe a list there for you. I know I have a friend who has an ongoing list of books, so I'll maybe steal that from her and put that in the show notes for you. But I encourage you to definitely make that a new habit. And if you're not much of a reader, if you fall asleep when you read, get it on Audible, or you can rent books, audiobooks on the Hoopla app, H-O-O-P-L-A. That's through your library and they're free. And I use that app all the time. Or there's also Libby, L-I-B-B-Y. That's also a free library app and you can rent books for free there and listen to them. Okay, tip number seven. Tip number seven is this: less is more. Now, especially if you have like junior high or high schoolers, you might be going in and thinking like, okay, I need to do math, science, English, history, three electives, gym, and it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do all this? I want to encourage you and tell you to take a deep breath and start off with the few basics that are important, like math, reading, Bible, science is important in high school. Maybe not like if they're young, I would just like hang on the science thing for a minute because no, just hold on a minute. You don't need to dive into everything. My point is just start with the basics, get your feet wet, get comfortable and get yourself in a groove with those things. And then add in as you see fit. I remember, this is kind of funny when our kids were not even in school yet. We went to a homeschool conference because we were trying to figure out if we even wanted to move forward with homeschooling. And once I took my husband to the homeschool conference and we sat through a few different lectures, and then he sat through one from, I think the guy is the president of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And my husband was sold. He's like, yeah, this is what we're doing for our kids. This is absolutely a great option for our family. Because before that, if you've listened to my podcast before, he wasn't completely on board with the whole homeschooling thing at all whatsoever. And if that's your spouse, I encourage you to get him in front of some different homeschool speakers. And there's everything is online right now. So that is a great advantage because you don't have to go to a conference, I guess, or drag him to a conference if he doesn't want to really go. But anyways, where was I even going? Oh yeah, less is more. So we were at this conference and again, our kids weren't even in school yet. And we were trying to just figure out, I was trying to see if, you know, I was prayerfully praying that my husband would decide that we could homeschool. And he did. And that conference really sold him on it. And so we're walking through the vendor hall. And we're looking, and the vendor hall is just this huge gymnasium filled with all these different curriculum vendors. And it is just like Disneyland for the homeschool mom because it's just so cool. There's like so many cool curriculum. It can be overwhelming, but there's like all this paper and notebooks and school supplies and planners and this and that. And oh, it's just so fun. Anyways, we get to this one booth and they had this guy was like, I mean, he was a salesman and he saw me like totally a newbie homeschooler, like so enamored by everything going on around me. And he just snatched me right up and my husband stood back and just kind of watched the whole thing. And I'm like, he sat there and he convinced me that my children needed to learn Latin. And mind you, like I truly believe they were like 3 and 4 at the time. And he's like, yes, if they learn Latin, their grammar will be this and this and the spelling and this. It will take care of all these things for you and da-da-da-da. And there I walk away. I walk out of this vendor hall and I have this whole Latin curriculum that I knew I couldn't even start it till they were at least in second or third grade. But I'm like, okay, yep, I agree. We need this. And I walk out and I look at my husband. I'm like, what just happened? What just happened there? And to this day, I still have that curriculum and I have not even opened it. I should sell it on eBay. Anyways, so my point is less is more. Don't feel overwhelmed that you have to add all the things in. Just keep to the basics at the beginning and go with it until you get your groove and then add things in as you go. I always said that we were going to add in Latin and guess what? I think we're just going to give up on that whole thing. Never mind. That's just not going to happen. Okay, number 8. Be flexible. So be flexible and willing to reevaluate every couple months. Be willing to recalibrate. So you might be going along, you might have a good groove going and think you're figuring things out. And then suddenly things start to fall off track and maybe you know, your kids are sleeping in later and they're not finishing all their work and the house is starting to fall apart a little bit and you just kind of see things slowly start to crumble and you're like, wait, what just happened? We totally had this down a couple months ago. What has happened? It's in those moments. It's a red flag. It's not really a red flag, but it's a wake up call to you. Okay, stop, pump the brakes. Let's reevaluate. Let's get everyone back on the same page and start again. Sometimes that might mean having to change different curriculums out. Maybe one of them's not working, or maybe you need to take a look at your chore system. That's an important thing. You guys are all going to be home together now. Your kids need to help out around the house because the house is, you'll notice, is going to be in constant disarray because people are there all the time and things keep getting unclean. So it's important that everybody has their roles. Like, that's normal and we don't need to get upset about that. Not that I ever have gotten upset about how my house looked. Anyways, so, you know, maybe that's time to take a look at those chores and make sure the chores are evenly distributed. Not too much is left on mom. Or, you know, make sure the kids are getting up a little bit earlier because maybe we've gotten lackadaisical and they're sleeping in. They're not even starting school till 11. And why aren't we finishing till 5? And why are we distracted half the day? Like, just get back together. Recalibrate. My dad is, one of his hobbies is shooting. And I recently started shooting with him. And I have learned the value of recalibrating and just taking a look at when you shoot and when you hit on the target, if you consistently keep hitting off, taking a look at, okay, why is my aim so wrong? And just re-evaluating how you're shooting, your stance, what you're looking at, where you're, you know, exactly why your aim is a little bit off and your sight, are you looking at your sight correctly? Are both of your eyes open, for Pete's sake? Harder than you think. Anyways, my point is, it is so important to take a look at things, recalibrate, reevaluate, start fresh. And that's okay if it has to happen like every month or every other month. That's okay. That is absolutely cool. It's not like once a year if you think that you're only going to reset your sights every year at the beginning of the homeschool year, you're going to have some crummy end, like last three quarters of your homeschool year. You've got to keep up on that every few months and just see where everyone's at. Okay. Number 9. Don't take yourself too seriously. Sometimes we can be like, oh my gosh, the world of my child's education is resting on my shoulders. And if I get this wrong, then everything's going to go bad and the world is going to be over. And oh, we just put all this pressure on ourselves and we just become so serious about homeschooling. I've been there. And we take all the fun out of it. Like, it's not even fun anymore because it's like, bang, bang, bang. We got to get all these check boxes checked off because this is what we got to do to stay on task by Christmas to have this many days off for break, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Take a deep breath. Don't take yourself too seriously. Have fun. I heard a homeschool mom say the other day, she said, I always found that if my kids, or she's like, I always, her measure for if they were successful in their homeschool day was if they learned a little every day and we laughed more. Like if making sure that her laughter ratio was way above their learning ratio. If we learned a little and we laughed a lot, then I knew we had a successful day. And that really hit me because there have probably been, unfortunately, more homeschool days in my home where we have learned quite a bit and we have laughed very little because it's sometimes I have the personality of wanting just to stay so focused and so on task that I'm like, no, no laughing right now. This is not time for laughing. It's like, oh, calm down, drill sergeant. That's how I can be. So don't take yourself too seriously. Have fun with it. That was number 9 was mostly for me, not you guys. You guys are probably going to have a blast doing it. That one was for me. Okay, number 10. The last one, the most boring one, I think, tip is know your state's requirements. Every state is different. I was surprised when I looked on my podcast stats to see that there's people all over listening, and I'm thankful that you guys, and humbled that you guys have chosen to listen to this podcast. And so my encouragement to you is to go on to homeschoollegaldefenseassociation.org. That's HSLDA.org, and you can go in there and explore your different states and find out what your requirements are. Some states do require testing. The state that I live in does not, and you will be surprised. I know a lot of public schoolers think that you have to go in and you have to go turn things in. Some states might require something like that, but majority do not. In the state that I live in, Michigan does not require that at this point. And if there's any changes to the state laws, you can find that out on hslda.org. When you are in high school, I do know it is important to start keeping transcripts, basically saying what your child did and the grade that they got. And again, moms, dads, that's your decision what the grade that your children got. So that's up to you to decide that. Nobody decides that for you. You are their teacher. So you see what you thought they gave, and you get to give them that grade. Okay. I think I covered it all. All right, you guys, again, this podcast is all about reclaiming womanhood, and I just want to reiterate why I think it's appropriate to talk about homeschooling on a podcast about reclaiming womanhood, because I think one of the most important things in reclaiming womanhood for generations to come is raising up our children, and homeschooling is a great way to pour into your kids on a daily basis and encourage them in their character. I said this before in a previous podcast that the number one reason that we homeschool is not for the education part of it. And while we have great advantages in that arena for homeschooling, we can customize their education. We can speed up where they're advancing and slow down where they're not. They basically have a private tutor for their education. While that's all a huge advantage, that's not our main reason. Main reason is character. And if we can pour into the character of our kids and raise them up to be godly people who love the Lord and love people, we can change for generations what womanhood looks like. And I'm talking even raising up our sons and our daughters. Of course, that's more obvious how we raise up our daughters to reclaim womanhood, but how we raise up our sons to look at and view women, that is how we can also reclaim womanhood. And that is a great topic for another episode, which we will get into a different day, about raising up sons to reclaim womanhood. All right, guys. But that's not for today. I hope you guys are encouraged by this. I hope that you feel confident if you are stepping into the homeschool arena for the first time. Do not be afraid. You know what? Bonus tip I didn't talk about. Number 11, this should be number one. You need to lean into the Lord. Lean into the Lord each and every day and pray and seek him out in his word and just trust him, because where you fall short, he is going to make up for that and then some. So don't feel like this all rests on you, because you are walking along the side of the Lord. You are in partnership with the Lord in this. He loves your children even more than you do. All right, guys, I pray that you have a blessed week. Again, go download that free prayer journal at allisonpowers.com/prayer journal, and I will see you back here next week. Bye. For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit allisonpowers.com. Thanks for listening.